continue Simon Kuf Pei Dalid. We're going to begin with the question of Shar HaChakos. We talked yesterday about the idea that there's a Chiyuv Prisha Samach Levesta. Is that just from Tashmish Hamita? What about other HaChakos? So the Beis Yosef says that if you look at all the Rishonim, or almost all of the Rishonim, they say that there is no Chiyuv Prisha from anything but Tashmish alone. Chibuk V'Nishuk is Mutter. However, the question is why? So if you look at the Ramban, as well as the Ravid, they say this is because Ein Kan Eloch Shashel Derayim. The reason why you could be Mekel for Chibuk V'Nishuk is since Prisha B'Shas Vesta is only a Din Derabanan, it's enough that we're Machmir on Tashmish, one doesn't need to be Machmir on Chibuk V'Nishuk. This might lead one to wonder that if you hold Prisha B'Shas Vesta's Deraisa, like we saw the Ritva, or Reb Chaim, the Rambam, etc., then maybe you would have to be Machmir. Then the Beis Yosef brings the Trumas Hadeshen, who is Machmir. And the Beis Yosef suggests that the Trumas Hadeshen must not have seen all the Rishonim who are Mekel, otherwise he would have cited them. Instead, all he cites is a Hagos Maimonios, and the Hagos Maimonios, he says, the Hagos Maimonios is lenient, and the Trumas Hadeshen says what the Hagos Maimonios means is that you don't have to be Machmir for other Harchakos, like passing or the like. But Chibuk V'Nishuk, you still have to be Machmir. So what comes out is that Rov Rishonim say Ibn Chibuk V'Nishuk is Mutter. The Trumas Hadeshen says Chibuk V'Nishuk is Aser, but other Harchakos are Mutter. It could be that the reason for the Trumas Hadeshen is because he holds like the Ritva, and that is why he's lenient. He's stringent in line with the reasoning of the Ravid. In other words, it's not like the Beis Yosef said that the Trumas Hadeshen didn't see the Ramban and the others. He saw the Ramban, and the Ramban says that the reason why we're lenient is because Prisha's de Rabbanan, and therefore if you hold Prisha's de Raisa, you'd have to be Machmir. One way or the other, the Mechaber and the Ramah are both Mekel. They don't mention the Trumas Hadeshen at all. The only prohibition is Tashmish. The Tar Shlamim says also this is the opinion of the Radvaz. However, the Taz Sifkatan Gimel brings back the Trumas Hadeshen, and not only that, but he thinks the Trumas Hadeshen is Aser Me'ikar Adin, and he brings an interesting Raya from Hilchos Avelos, probably Shin Pei Gimel. Some say the rise from Shin Mem Beis, but the Pashto says it's from Shin Pei Gimel. And there the Rush writes, L'inyan Avelos, that you should be Machmir for Chibuk V'Nishuk. And this view is brought down by the Ramah in Hilchos Avelos, Simen Shin Pei Gimel Sif Aleph, that Chibuk V'Nishuk Yesh L'Hachmir. In other words, just like during Avelos, where there's an Isser Tashmish, where Machmir for Chibuk V'Nishuk, says the Taz Hu Adin for Shas Vesta. Now, L'chora, you could be Doches Raya in a couple of ways. One is you could say, well, perhaps Avelos, that's 7 days, it's longer, and therefore the Shash is greater, and perhaps for Vesta, it's only one Ona, so therefore you could be lenient. Or option two is that you could say no, that the reason to be Machmir during Avelos from Chibuk V'Nishuk is not because it's going to lead to Bia per se, but because Chibuk V'Nishuk is inappropriate in and of itself during Avelos. And that opinion is stated by Rabbi Akiva Eger over there in Yoredei Shin Pei Gimel. He writes, Shkein Mefurish Betargum Koheles Eis Lachabok Ve'Eis Lirchok Mechabek Idan Bachir Ligvafa Isisa. Right, there's a good time to hug your wife. V'idan bachir l'rachka megifafan, there's a good time to stay away from that, b'shiva yimei avela. Now that might be because of shash tashmish, or it might just be because it's inappropriate. So perhaps the nafkamina between these two yeshuvim would be Tisha B'Av, right? If you're going to say that the reason why Vesis is more lenient is because it's just a short time, so then Tisha B'Av is also a short time. If you say it's because it's inappropriate in and of itself during Avelos, so then maybe Tisha B'Av is Avelos, and it shouldn't be done. The halach in terms of Tisha B'Av, since we just mentioned it, is the Shulchan Aruch says in Tisha B'Av, Yesh Misha Omer Shalu Yishen B'Lel Tisha B'Av im ishtav v'mita v'nachon adavar mishum lech lecha aminan nezira. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim it says asar liga b'ishto, not just sleeping in the same bed, but even touching her. And maybe it applies also on Tisha B'Av, maybe it doesn't. Tisha B'Av might be different because she doesn't dress up so nicely. Fine. Now, l'chora, even the Machmirin, like we said, it's only Chibuk V'Nishuk, it's not other Harchakos. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav thinks it's also inappropriate to sleep in the same bed. You should separate the beds. Okay, Sif Gimel. We're not going to get into Sif Gimel so much. Just to be mayor very briefly, there's a big machlokas how to understand this sif. The simple reading of the Torah is that when you have a ketana shelo rasa, she never has to be chosheshes for a veses sheinu kavua, even if she's already seen three times. In other words, even though we're machmir, let's say after she sees three times for ksamim, we don't have to be choshesh for a veses sheinu kavua. According to the simple reading of the Mechaber, it sounds like no. Once she is seen three times, you do have to be choshish for ves sheinu kavua. This is also a machlokes shach taz in simin kuf pei tes. The shach is mekel, the taz is machmir. All this is brought down in Rabbi Akiva Eger as well as the Pischei Tshuva here. Sif Dalet. So the first point just to mention in Sif Dalet is how do you calculate ves dos? What zmanim do we use? So if you look at the simple reading of the Mechaber, which is based off of the Ravid, it sounds like the Tchilas Hayom is considered Netzachama, sunrise. This is a bit surprising, because we know that generally speaking, the beginning of the day, at least on a Deraisa level, is usually Alos. And while it's true that Midirabanan for most mitzvos, we say that you should wait till Netz, because we're concerned that you might start them too early, and Nates is a much more concrete and clear period of time, sunrise as opposed to dawn. But why is it that L'inyan Vestos we would follow Nates? It would seem more intuitive that we would follow Alos. So the Chavos Das asks this question, and he says, the reason is because Vestos are a physical occurrence, and therefore it makes more sense that they are triggered by sunrise as opposed to the rays of the sun being first apparent. We find this idea in a couple of places in Hilchos Vestos. For example, the Shita the Ra'ah, which we don't accept, that we follow Vesa Chodesh, we look at the Molad, because it's the moon that causes the Veses, or the like. We'll talk about that when we do Kuf Pei Tes. So the Chavosta says that it makes more sense to look at sunrise, and that's why we follow Netzachama, and we would also follow Shkia Sachama, as opposed to Tzeisa Kochavim. Another possible answer I thought you could give to this question is that we want to make them equal. In other words, if you say for Vestas we follow Netz to Shkia, so then approximately daytime will be 12 hours and nighttime will be 12 hours. Whereas if you follow Alos to Tzeis, so daytime will always be much longer than nighttime. It's somewhat like the Avi Ezri. Now, we don't go as far as the Avi Ezri to say, no, it's always going to be 12 hours, whether it's the winter or the summer. But still, since our concern is one of seeing dawn, it makes sense to equal them out, and therefore Netz and Shkia would make more sense. If you look at the Shach, it sounds like the Shach holds that even though it starts at Netz, it ends at Tzeis HaKochavim, because he talks about a situation, he seems to be saying, where it's after Shkia, Safek, Tseis, and the implication is that the Sof Hayom is Nikba Achar Tseis, even though Tchilas Hayom is Nikba Achar, Sof Hayom is Nikba Achar Tseis HaKohem, right, even though Tchilas Hayom is Nikba Achar Netzachama. Now, that's a little strange, because one would have expected a parallelism. So you could be Docha, and you could answer no, that when it comes to morning, we have two zmanim, Netz and Alos. For some halachos we follow Netz, some halachos we follow Alos. Whereas it comes to Laila, virtually for all halachos, all we care about is Tzeis HaKochavim. Shkia is only important because it's the beginning of Ben HaShemashos, perhaps, but it doesn't have inherent importance, except for the laws of Kachim, where we say Dam is Nisal, but Shkia Sachama. So maybe that's why at night we follow Tzeis, though in the morning we follow Netz. The Chavos Das, however, assumes that even the Shach agrees that at night you follow Shkia Sachama. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with all of this, and Sif Chav Zayin, the Aruch HaShulchan says, He doesn't even think it makes sense to start at Nates. I, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ravid say Nates. He says, first of all, the other Rishonim don't mention Nates before the Ravid, and after the Ravid, they're just quoting the Ravid. The Rambam doesn't say Nates. I, the Ravid is just mentioning the Lashon of the Gemara, and the Gemara's Lashon is only a Libet Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi holds Vestos or Talui Bashos, and we follow Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's not relevant, and therefore he thinks you have to be Machmir for both Smanim, for both Nates and Alos, and likewise Shkia and Seis Kochavim. I think, though, the minhag is to follow the opinion of the Chavos Das, which is important. One has to note, especially when it's the winter and Nates is relatively late, you should pay attention. Okay. The next halacha here, the halacha in this sif, is a very interesting din. It's in the name of the Ravid. The Ravid says, let's say you're unsure. Let's imagine Nates Hachama is 6 a.m. You're unsure. Did your period start at 5:59 or did it start at 6:01? You don't know whether it started before or after Nates. So the Ravid says that you could assume the latter period, meaning, say, assuming it started during the daytime and not at nighttime. Why? So the Rush says this is because Sveikad Rabbanan Ulakula V'lo Chayshinan Al Yom Shehu Vadai B'yamei Nidasa. Sounds like he's giving two different reasons. One is Sveikad Rabbanan Lakula, and two is because Yom is Vadei B'yamei Nidasa. Now the question is this really two reasons, or is it one reason, and what does that second thing that he says mean? What does it mean, Yom is Vadei B'yamei Nidasa? So it sounds like he's saying that since she's Vadei bleeding during the day, and we have a suffix whether she was bleeding at night, right? Because we don't know if she started at 5:59 or 6:01. So it makes more sense to make the Veses during the daytime, because at that point she was Vade bleeding. Meaning, say, even if she did start at night, even if she started at 5:59 a.m., but she certainly was bleeding at 6:01 a.m., and therefore will follow the daytime Veses. So all of the Achronim ask that this is very problematic, because we know that when it comes to Vestos, we paskin, though this is a machlokes, which we'll see shortly, but we paskin, we always follow the beginning of the Vestos. We never look at the flow, we always look at the beginning. And therefore, if the beginning is 5:59, what difference does it make that she was also bleeding at 6:01 a.m.? So he thought the easiest way to answer the question is as follows. One could answer that here, really, we have, like the Rush says, a suffik de Rabbanan. Suffik de Rabbanan should be Mekel. So really, you could actually be Mekel in both accounts. You should be Mekel at night, because maybe it was during the morning, and you should be Mekel during the morning, because maybe it was at night. Except, as we saw earlier, we have a principle that when we have a suffik de Rabbanan of this sort, we are not Mekel on both accounts, such that the whole din would go away. So therefore, we have to be machmir. But if we could think of a reason why one, it makes a little more sense to be machmir in one over the other, because after all, the only reason you have to be machmir on both is because of my chazis, right? My chazis that you're going to be machmir in the day, be machmir at night. My chazis that will be machmir at night, you should be machmir during the day. Since really there's no reason to pick, so you can't arbitrarily pick. But once there's a tzad kalush to pick one over the other, so then you're allowed to pick, even though it's not necessarily enough of a proof to be machmir in general. Just like we saw, for example, in a taroves. So we say that tumma latoch tumma nafal and heter latoch heter nafal. Aye, statistically speaking, that doesn't make sense. No, since the only reason we're machmir is because of my chazis, since it's only a nisar d'rabbanan, so for a tam kalush, we're machriya. Here too, even though usually we always follow haschala, since I know I was bleeding during the day, and I don't know if I was bleeding at night, makes more sense to follow the day. The truth of the matter is, without the Rush's reading of answer, you could have given a different reason why it's more machmir, why we would follow the day, and that's because there's a chazaka de mekara. I don't know whether she was bleeding. I know she has a cheskas tara. Cheskas tara will tell me to push off the bleeding until the latest possible time, which would be daytime. I didn't see anyone that gives that reason. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Baal Amor himself actually asks this question on the Ravid. It's not in the regular Baal Amor on the Ravid, but it's in the Hasagos HaNosafos that are in the Madures Ksav Yad, page 26 in the Buchwald edition of the Ravid. And he asks this on the Ravid. And he actually concludes, therefore it makes sense to be makel on both. In other words, there's no vasis in this case, since it's the Safik Durabanan Ulahakel. The Taz answers this question by saying, Talinan Tchilas HaKalkala Gam Kein B'Yom. Maybe that means what I was saying, Talinan HaKilkul B'Makolkul, because of my chazis, I'm not sure. The Shach, however, brings the Bach that says you have to be Machmir Bein B'Yom Bein B'Layla. And the Shach himself says that anyway, according to his theory, you have to be Machmir Altzi Or Zarua. So if you're Machmir for Altzi Or Zarua, you don't have to do a double Or Zarua. You don't have to say, combine the Or Zarua with the Bach and not only be Aser during the daytime and the nighttime, but also the previous nighttime. No, it's enough to take the, be Mekel like the Shulchan Aruch, be Machmir like the Shulchan Aruch for the day and the previous night for Or Zarua / Bach. The Shach also mentions here, like we said, that the same din would apply at night, meaning to say if you're not sure whether it started before the nighttime, in other words during the daytime, or after nightfall, then you would follow the same rule, like the Shulchan Aruch says, you would assume the later period of time. And here the Shach seems to mention Seis, like we said before, it sounds like the time is Seis, but according to the Chavos Das, like we said, it's going to be Shkia. The next question we have to address, which is very similar to this one, is what happens if you forget the day of your vesis, right? A woman just forgets. She doesn't remember when she saw last time. She forgets the day of her vesis. So maybe we'll be mekel, because we'll say safek derabanan lahakel. Or maybe we have to be machmir, because if we're mekel, then you're going to get rid of the vesis altogether. And if you are machmir, so that means the whole month is usher. What are you going to do? So the Mari Asad, Simen Kuf Tzadi, is Mekel, as long as you have a Bedika Kodem Tashmish during the time of uncertainty. And he's Mekel even if it's a Vesis Kavua. So if I'm not sure whether my Vesis is 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 of the month, so if I want to have Tashmish during that period of time, I should do a Bedika Kodem Tashmish. Why is he lenient? He gives two reasons. One is Safik Drabban Lakula, and two is because Al Pirov, she's Mutaris, because we know that, you know, of the 30 days of the month, 29 are Mutar. So you follow Rov. Now, this is actually a very interesting Chiddush, because usually when it comes to time, we don't say Rov. There's a famous Magen Avram. The Gemara says that if you're lost in a desert and you don't know when Shabbos is, so if you have to travel anyway, because otherwise it would be Pikuach Nefesh, and then you travel and you pick one day to say Kiddush and Avdallah. But if you don't have to travel, so you're usher every single day of the week. So the Magen Avraham in, let's see, Sof Simen Shin Mem Dalet asks, why do you have to be machmir? Why can't you just say rov? And he answers that zman is kavua, and kol kavua k'machzal machzadam, each day is kavua b'makomo, and therefore each day you'd have to be machmir. So it would seem that this Maria Asad is going against that, unless you're mechalek. There, the day of the week is kavua, whereas here the vesis is superimposed upon the calendar, and therefore you could still follow rov. Halach l'maisa darkei tshuva is also mekel because of batel b'rov. The Chavos Das is mekel because safik d'rabban l'kula. The Chassam Sofer is machmir l'shitaso because he thinks it's safik d'oraisa, because he thinks prishas d'oraisa, and maybe it's kavua. And he also cites the reason of the Ran, that even in a Safik Drabban, you have to be Machmir if it would lead to the Din being entirely uprooted. That's the famous Ran by Arba Kosos, right? The Gemara is a Safik, whether you need Haseba in cups 1 or 2, or Haseba in cups 3 or 4. So the Ran says, we're Machmir to do all 4. It's only a Din Drabban, and he gives two answers. One answer is because it's easy to be lenient. That wouldn't be relevant here, because according to the Chassam Sofer, you're going to be Aser the entire month. But the second reason is relevant here, that if you were Mekel, then the whole din would go away. Okay. Sif Hay and Vav. So, in Sif Hay and Vav are both based off of Ravid. And we'll go through the Ravid, at least outside, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ravid talks about three different cases. Really, Sif Dalet, Hay, and Vav are all based on the Ravid. Sif Dalet is the first case of the Ravid. Sif Hay is the second case of the Ravid. Sif Vav is the third case of the Ravid. What are the three cases of the Ravid? So very briefly, case one we did already. She doesn't know if she saw 5:59 a.m. or 6:01 a.m. Case two of the Ravid, we'll elaborate in a moment, is that she saw a Re'iya Meruba from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., meaning to say she started seeing Vadai during the nighttime. It was in Re'iya Meruba, and it continued until the day, 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. And about that, the Ravid quotes three different opinions as to what the halacha is. And then case three, which is Sivav, is that she sees she has an extended bleeding for 4 or 5 days. Shulchan Aruch mentions three, but the Ravid actually says 4 or 5 days. She has an extended bleeding, and the difference is that it's midalefes, and it's not shofas. It's not a Re'iya Meruba. In other words, there are two differences between case two and case three. Difference one is case two is just an hour, right, like we said, 5:30 to 6:30 a.m. Case three is a bleeding that extends for 4 or 5 days. That's difference one. And difference two is that case two is talking about a Re'iya Meruba, whereas case three is talking about a slow bleeding. Okay? And here, too, in case three, the Ravid has four different opinions as to what the halacha is. So now we'll go through each one. So case one we mentioned, you don't know if it's 5:59 or 6:01. Your machmir only for 6:01, meaning to say the later day is your basis. Case two is, again, she sees a Re'iya Meruba from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., with Nates being at 6 a.m. So what's the halacha? So opinion number one is your asura bayom uvalayla, meaning to say that we assume that the entire, well, let's explain. If you follow, going back to case three, there is an opinion in case three that you have to be machmir all 4 or 5 days. In other words, the vesas is not just the day that you begin bleeding, but the vesas is the entire time you are bleeding. So obviously, if you're machmir over the course of 4 or 5 days for even a slow bleed, you're certainly going to be machmir over the course of 2 days for a Re'iya Meruba. So certainly, the first opinion would make sense according to those that have a long period then. However, the first opinion that says, no, here you're asur both day and night, or I should say night and day, from 5:30 to 6:30, might say, no, we accept that there's a difference between tchilas haveses and the hemshech of the veses. However, here, since it was a Re'iya Meruba, we see both the nighttime, 5:30 to 6, and daytime, 6 to 6:30, is the tchilas haveses, because it was Meruba, and therefore you have a tchilas haveses that extends over two onos, and therefore those entire two onos are asura. So that's opinion number one. Opinion number two is basar tchilas haveses azlinan velo mitzera ela belayla. Okay, opinion number two says, no, we always follow the beginning, like the pashtus, and even, therefore she's only asura belayla. In other words, 5:30 is her tchilas haveses, so therefore veses is belayla, because 5:30 is belayla. Opinion number three, and this is the opinion that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is that she's usher the entire ona of tchilas haveses, so she's usher during the nighttime. However, she's also usher into the daytime kishir of the Re'iya Meruba. So let's say this took place on the 15th of the month, so the next month at night she would be usher the entire ona of the 15th. And even though usually a vesis only lasts for one ona, here the vesis would go on for another half hour into the day. So it would be a very unusual vesis. It would be a 12 and a half hour vesis. Usually a vesis is only 12 hours. This would be a 12 and a half hour vesis. Now, it seems like when you actually look at the Ravid, it's not clear that this is a third position, because he uses a lashon va'ana echra'ana v'ha milsa k'hai svar basra, which sounds like he's accepting the second position, except then he seems to be presenting a third view. One way or the other, the Beis Yosef and the Torah both certainly understood that this was a third view. Conceptually speaking, this third view is actually more similar to, we'll just point out, this third view basically says that we accept the notion that we follow Tchilas HaVeses, right? However, we say that this is an extended Tchilas HaVeses, but we only have the Chumr of Rabbi Yehuda to Aser the entire Ona once. In other words, why is it? There's an opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, who says that, generally speaking, on the Ona, we only Aser that hour. If she saw from 6 to 7, so her Vesis is only 6 to 7, not the entire day. We accept Rabbi Yehuda that the entire Ona is Aser, but we only Paskin that Chumr once, and therefore the entire night is Aser, but we also Aser the day for a half hour, because we see that too as Tchilas HaVeses. Okay, so that is case two. Case three of the Ravid, which is the next sif, is, as we said, there's an extended Veses for 4 or 5 days, right? But it's Midel Efes, it's not a Re'iyah Meruba. So let's imagine the following situation. So she sees for 3 months in a row, from day 20 to day 24. So what's the halacha? So the first opinion says that day 20 is her vesis kavua, and day 21, 22, 23, 24 have the din of a vesis she'eno kavua. Okay? So that means that on the next month, she'll have to be choshesh for day 21, 22, 23, 24, but if she doesn't see on them, then she doesn't have to worry about them the following month, as opposed to day 20, she has to worry about it for the months until it's uprooted. That's opinion A in the Ravid. Opinion B in the Ravid is, no, day 20 is her only Veses. We always follow Tchilas HaRe'iyah, and this is the opinion that the Shulchan Aruch accepts, that we always look at the beginning and only the beginning. We don't care about the Hamshach. Opinion number three is day 20 through day 24 are all the Veses Kavua. Why? So one possibility is because the Ravid says maybe she didn't actually start bleeding on day 20 like we think. Day 20 was Dam Tohar, and day 21 was the beginning. Or maybe day 20 and 21 is Dam Tahor, and day 23 is the beginning. Just like we said all the way going back to Simon Kuf Pei Gimel. Remember, Kuf Pei Gimel, we explained, why is it that we're Choshesh for Shiva Nekiyim? Why do we treat every suffix nida, every nida as a suffix zava? Because we never know. Maybe, even though it looks red, it's not really red. So that's why you have to be choshish that day 23 is actually her vesis kavua, not day 22. The Ravid rejects that because we're not choshish that every dam is really dam tohar. But he says there's another reason why you should treat all 5 days as the vesis kavua. Either because she calls man meshech riyasa chashiv hakol ka'ona achas. In other words, the Ravid's answer is that we see the entire time you bleed as her ona, or, like the Ramban says, that mipneshu davar matzi b'rov nashim shehem mishanos es vestan lahaktim shlosha yamim o la'acher shlosha yamim ve'acher kachozros l'mekoman. This sounds a little bit like the Yemei Mevucha that we talked about yesterday, but that It's not that each day, that was the Ravid, the first one was the Ramban. It's not that each day is a Vesis Kavua, and she has four separate Vesis Kavua on 20, 21, 22, 23, but rather the whole flow is one Vesis Kavua. One way or the other, as we explained, we don't accept this position, and we're only Machmir for the Tchila. So we are Mechalik between Sif Hei, where we look, we're concerned both for the Tchilas and also the extended, right? Like we said in Sif Hei, we're Machmir for 12 and a half hours, but not in Sif Vav. And as we mentioned before, there are two reasons that you could use to be Machalik. The Bach focuses on the fact that Sif Hei, it's a Re'iyah Meruba as opposed to Sif Vav, and the Prisha focuses on the fact that Sif Vav is an extended period of time, whereas Sif Hei is a Zman Muat. The Mechaber doesn't mention that it's a Re'iyah Meruba. Sounds more like the Prisha and not like the Bach, but the Shach mentions both reasons. And the Taz doesn't like these reasons at all, He doesn't think it makes sense. It's a little schwer because the Taz says, why is the Mechaber making it up? Whereas the Rush is already the one who made these reasons up, and also the Ravid. So it's not so clear. The Pischei Tshuva Yud Beis, which is quotes the Chavos Das, is saying that, let's say she saw for 3 months in a row, day 20 through 23, day 20 through 23, and on the third month she saw on day 22, right? Does she have a Veses Kavua? The Pashup Shad is no, because the Shulchan Aruch says you always follow the beginning. However, the Chavos Das says that if she's Shofas O Mizalefes, so then you're right, she won't have a Veses Kavua. But if she stopped bleeding and then she started again, so then 22 might be a Re'iyah Chadasha, and then you'll have to be Machmir. Sort of because day 20 and 21 might be Dam Torah, sort of like that Svar that the Ravid rejects. That's a big Chumrah. I don't think we accept that. Okay. Sif Zion. So Sif Zion tells us that a Menika is Misulekes Damim, and a Me'uberes is Misulekes Damim. How long is a Menika Misulekes Damim? 24 months from the time the baby's born, even if the child dies. In other words, even if she's not practically nursing it. This is actually a Machlokas in a Gemara between Remeir and Rabbanan. And we paskin like the Rabbanan that even if she's not nursing, and the reason is because the trauma of childbirth somehow causes her body to suspend menstruating for 24 months. Now, as we all know, the Metzius is no longer this way. Women, certainly once they stop nursing, begin menstruating again already, and sometimes even while they are nursing, especially if they're not exclusively nursing. In other words, the child's either having formula or solid foods, even a pacifier might make a difference. And therefore, what do we say since the Metzius isn't true anymore? So it might not make too much of a difference because Rabbi Akiva Eger Zion and the Pischei Tshuva points out that in Simen Kuf Pei Tes we say that during this period of time you do have to be Choshesh for a Vesa She'enu Kavua. It's only for a Veses Kavua of that was started that from beforehand you don't have to worry about. So what that means practically speaking, since nowadays women never really have a Veses Kavua, or almost never, it doesn't matter. Because once she sees, let's say 10 months after childbirth, she has her first period. So if it's obviously there's no such thing as a Haflaga at that point because it's the first Riyah, but the next month, on that Yom Lachodesh, and also on the Onabenonis, you'll have to be Machmir. Even if you treat her as Misulekes Damim, because during these 24 months, you still have to be Choshish for Vesa She'ena Kavua. So it doesn't make too much difference that practically speaking, she is Misulekes Damim halachically. Okay, Sif Ches says the very interesting halacha, and it's based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that women that are hiding in caves because they are fleeing for their lives, the fear of being in a cave causes her to be Misulekes Damim. And therefore, she doesn't have to be Choshesh for her Veses. Now, the Gemara there implies that if you don't have to be Choshesh for your Veses during your pregnancy, you don't have to be Choshesh during when you're hiding in a cave. That being the case, the statement of the Torah is very problematic because the Torah says that l'chatchila, even when she's in a cave, she should be poresh. And the Beis Yosef asks, this goes against the Gemara. And in the end, he says, well, maybe the Beis Yosef, maybe the Torah holds that the dimyon of the Gemara is only according to the Mandem Revestos Deoraisa. It's not a perfect dimyon. But he says that's dochak in the Gemara, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch himself is mekel. He simply says in Sifches Haisa, nichves b'machva, you don't have to worry at all. However, the Rama says, V'yesh omrim, that's only if avar aveses v'lo badka, but during the veses you have to be poresh, and l'chatchila tzricha bedika. I it's against the Gemara. So the Taz is miyashev that the detour in the Ramar choshesh that b'shas tashmish the fear will go away, meaning, and she'll see. In other words, she's only misulekas damim so long as she's in fear for her life. So if they have tashmish, during tashmish, she might relax a little bit and not be so scared, in which case she might get her period at that point in time, in which case you should not have tashmish during your vases in the cave, even though after the vases, then you won't need a bedika. That's what the Taz says. The problem is that the Rama says that you need a bedika even afterwards. So you have to say that we're always choshesh shema yistale kacharada. And that's what the Gilyon HaMarsham more or less is miyashi for the Taz. The Shach gives a different answer. He says that the reason why you need a bedika is because we find that some women, even when they're hiding in caves, have their period. Now, if so, then why b'di'eved don't you need a bedika afterwards? Meaning to say, we know normally if you have a veses kavua, until you do a bedika after your veses, you're asura. Whereas in a cave, that's only l'chatchila, not b'di'eved. So you have to say it's like a sfeik sfeika. Maybe you don't need a bedika at all in general. And even if you do, maybe because of the pachad, you don't have to worry. Now this halach of being in a cave, Baruch Hashem, is not so nogan nowadays. But it has a lot of very, it is very relevant practically for the question of birth control pills. And there are some achronim, and already the first to do this was the Chuvas Radvaz, who suggested the following. Maybe when a woman is on the pill, so she's misulekes damim, and therefore she doesn't have to worry about previous vestos. Let's imagine that she has a vesas, let's even say a vesas kavua, right? She's on the pill. So just to say, what does the pill mean, and why is this relevant? So more or less, you could ask a doctor for more details, but more or less, the birth control pills use hormones to regulate a woman's cycle. It's a combination of estrogen and progesterone that's supposed to mimic the signal that the brain sends to the uterus when to not shed the lining. And then when you stop taking the pills, the estrogen and progesterone, then usually within 24 hours or 2 or 3 days, she will bleed. That's the way birth control pills work. Now, the way that they do this is by, so people will not get confused, is by giving placebo pills. In other words, there'll be, 28 pills, and then on 29, there'll be a different color pill, a green pill. The green pill is just sugar. It's not a real pill. So it's not the pshat that when you take the green pill, you start bleeding. It's really when you stop taking the red pill that you start bleeding within a couple of days. So that is what birth control pills are. Now, while she's taking the hormones, the estrogen and progesterone, generally speaking, she will not have her period. And therefore, perhaps we'll say that during that period of time, she's misulekas damim. And if you're misulekas damim, you don't have to be choshesh for old vestos. And the raya that this concept exists is from this siman in Shulchan Aruch, where we have the din of nichfeis b'machbo, that if you're in a situation where you're becheskas misulekas damim, you don't have to be choshesh for previous vestos. So that's the question. Can we make that comparison? So the Radvaz says the following. The Radvaz is talking about something very similar to birth control pills, some type of potion, mixas nashim sheshosos mashka, oshar dvarim la'ake vestan asara o esrim yom, im asar lavayla lavo aleha, afal pishi hitahora dahave kesamuch levesta olo. If a woman takes this potion, this will prevent her from getting her period, and therefore, she doesn't have to be choshesh for vestos. That's the question that the Radvaz was asked. And essentially, it's exactly, or very similar to the situation of birth control pills. So what's his answer? His answer is, you can't presume it works But if you try it and it does work, then you could assume it works. V'im nishta zeh hamashke t'lase zimni u'me'akev es vesta have chazaka v'avik'ilu nekar vesta v'nikba'a al shtias hamashke. And therefore, there are those that say that we'll treat birth control pills exactly like this potion of the Radvaz, that if you try birth control pills for 3 cycles and you see that in fact it's effective, that it prevents you from bleeding, so therefore you don't have to be choshesh for vestos, meaning to say previous vestos, while you're on the pill. So there are different opinions about this matter. There's a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Gimel, Simen Kuf Gimel, a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Chav Zayin. The Minchas Yitzchak compares birth control pills to Machvo, right? And in the end of the day, though, he's Machmir, because certainly until you've experimented 3 times, because he says we don't trust doctors, so even though the doctors are going to tell you that you will stop bleeding as soon as you're on the pill, we don't trust the doctors. Others, as I said, are Mekel. The Tzitz Eliezer basically says that we follow the Radvaz and we could only trust its effectiveness after 3 times. And even though the doctors say it's definitive, we accept the Chsam Sofer regarding Ne'amanus HaRofim, that the doctors' statements are only generalities and are not presumed to apply to particular women, Lakula. And many say, no, we could fully follow the doctors nowadays. There might be a reason. It happens to be that Bizman Hazeh, meaning to say now, to be a little more stringent. Again, without getting into too many details. Nowadays, it happens to be that there's a much greater likelihood of breakthrough bleeding while a woman is on the pill than, let's say, 30 years ago. That's because there were a couple of longitudinal studies which showed that women who are on oral contraception for extended periods of time have a higher incidence of breast cancer. And therefore, extended, we're not talking about like a year or two, we're talking about someone who, you know, goes on the pill when she's 13 and goes off when she's 40 and ready to have a child. So anyhow, there were certain studies that indicated that, and therefore the reduced the dosage of the standard birth control pill. There's smaller amounts of estrogen, smaller amounts of progesterone. Now, what that practically means, it's sufficiently strong to prevent a woman from getting pregnant, but it's not sufficiently strong some of the time to prevent breakthrough bleeding, especially in the first couple cycles until she gets used to it, her body gets used to it. So it's not at all uncommon a woman would have breakthrough bleeding, especially sometimes women will decide to try to push it off the bleeding. So instead of taking the placebos after a certain number of days, they'll skip the placebos and try to go 2 cycles, then the chances of breakthrough bleeding are even higher. And therefore, some say that perhaps it makes more sense. I think we were talking to Rav Ezra Schwartz about this. I think he said that maybe it makes more sense to be more machmir nowadays, not to, at least until you've experimented 3 times, like the Radvaz said, because breakthrough bleeding is so common nowadays. However, many, many poskim, including the Shevet HaLevi, say no. You could be makel. You don't have to be concerned immediately about all previous vestos. In other words, you could forget about your vestos haflaga when you go off on the pill, forget about the vestos hachodesh when you go on the pill. Fine.
I was wondering, doesn't the Radvaz apply less nowadays? Because he seems to be talking about with a vestos kavua. Like, you have to be natural.
Right. Even in a vestos kavua, you could be makel, so koshke in a vesheno kavua. There's more reason to be makel. Absolutely. Now, the next thing, we'll just mention it when we're talking about the pill, is what about the following? Do you have to be choshesh for a vestos kavua that happens when you're on the pill? And what happens if you actually have vestos kavua? You're on the pill every 28 days, you see, for 5 months in a row. And then you go off the pill. So do you have to be choshesh after 28 days. So here the poskim say, no, you don't have to. Because here it's clear and obvious that the reason why you bled every 28 days was not because of the veses, it's because you were stopped, you took the placebo, right? Had you decided to remain on the pill for two more days, then it would have been 2 days later. You don't have to be choshesh. However, the poskim do say that you have to be choshesh when you go off the pill, or when you begin taking the placebo. The way the Shevet Alevi says it, and Rabbi Sabalovsky on page 241 quotes this as well, that let's say, generally, as we said, once you stop taking the hormone pills, you will see 2 to 3 days. Let's say she always sees day 20, she sees 48 hours after she goes off the pill, she always begins her period. So Rabbi Sabalovsky and the Shevet Alevi say that for 24 hours before that, you have to be machmir. In other words, if she always starts seeing her period after 48 hours, you have to be poresh starting 24 hours after you get off the pill. I'm not exactly sure where that shir comes from. I assume it's just a seichel hayashar, that it makes sense. Kain, what we say in Vestos. Here we're going more, we're saying 24 hours, but I would have expected maybe to say 12 hours. But I think it's just an Eitzah Tova. Maybe the concern is that the Tashmish itself will make it come a little earlier. I'm not sure. But that is what some poskim say. So 24 hours before you expect the menstruation to begin, that's when you should be poresh. Some try to argue that the pill is like a vesas akfitas. We're going to talk about this tomorrow when we do some in Kuf Pei Tes. But without getting into details, most vestos are not causative, but correlative. That's the right word. In other words, either every 24 days I see you, or you have something like a vesas aguf, where there's a certain external action that correlates to my vesas. So every time a woman has a sneezing fit, within a couple of minutes, she always starts her period. But it's not the pshat that the sneezing fit causes the period. Whenever she's supposed to get her period, she has a sneezing fit. That's a vesas aguf. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Then there's such a thing as vesas akfitzos. Vesas akfitzos means she does something that always brings on her vesas, like jumping. That, we paskin, is not a vesas, at least on its own, unless it's morkav. Then there's something called vesas hashum. Again, we'll explain this tomorrow. Vesas hashum is she eats something extremely sharp, like garlic, and that causes her vesas. According to Mechaber and the Rashba, you don't have to be concerned about this. According to one day in the Ramah and Tosfos, you do. So some say that the pill is like Vesas Hashum. Every time she starts taking the green pill, within 24 hours or 48 hours, she gets her period. That's like a Vesas Hashum, and therefore the pill is like a Vesas Hashum, and it will be Aser Alts that. Now that's a bit of a chiddush, because here it's not the green pill that causes the period. It's actually not taking anything, even if the green pill is just the placebo. If she doesn't take anything, she'll also get it. Can you have a Vesas Hashum that's Ayde Meniya? Like, let's say, if I stop eating, every time I fast, I get a period. So will that be the same thing or not? So it's not clear whether that makes sense or not. But one way or the other, even if you reject the dimyon to vesas hashum, one should still be machmir, certainly to be poresh during the time that you expect the period to come, but perhaps even the 24 hours preceding that as a precaution. Yes? We'll do that in Kuf Pei Tes. It's a very, very good question. It's such a good question that the Rashba says there is no difference. And Tosfos, who does offer a chiluk, it's not Pasha what he's saying, that we're going to do in Kuf Pei Tes. I only mentioned it now because we're on the topic of the pill. I figured we'd do the whole topic. Yes?
24 hours before she normally would start bleeding.
After, yes.
And it's not onus. It's 24 hours.
I think so. Okay. Sif Tes. So we paskin, like we said before, the vesas are derabbanan, and therefore, even if she didn't do a bedika during her vesas, if she did a bedika afterwards, she is tahora. According to the Rambam and the Rif, you don't even need to do a bedikah afterwards. I mean, according to the Rambam and the Rif, if she has a ves kavua, and she doesn't do a bedikah b'shas vesta, and she doesn't see any dam, then afterwards she's mutaras. The Ramah, though, paskins like the Rashba and Tosfos, that she does need to do bedikah afterwards in order to be mutaras, and the Mechaber's Machriya that way in Simen Kuf Pei Tes Siv Dalet, though here he leaves it open. And this, of course, is only in a vesis kavua. In a vesis kavua, if you didn't, in a vesis she'eno kavua, if you didn't do a bedikah b'shas vesta, then you are mutaras afterwards. You don't need to do bedikah. The question arises, should she do a bedikah l'chatchila b'shas vesta? If it's a vesis she'eno kavua, or no, you don't even have to do a bedikah l'chatchila. So if you look at the Beis Yosef says, ein etzricha bedikah b'yom ha'vesis hazeh. The Beis Yosef implies that even l'chatchila, you don't need to do a bedikah during the time of a vesa she'eno kavua. However, some try to be medayik that even though the Beis Yosef says that explicitly, in the Lashon of the Mechaber he doesn't say that, and he might leave room open to be medayik, for example, in Kuf Pei Tes Dalet, that maybe you should do a bedikah l'chatchila during a ves she'eno kavua, because he only says that b'di'evet, if you didn't do a bedikah during a ves she'eno kavua, you're mutaris. However, all that's very difficult to say, because if he's mefurish black on white in the Beis Yosef, and he's not mefurish in the Mechaber, we will assume that we should interpret the statement in the Mechaber based on what he says clearly and explicitly in the Beis Yosef, in which case it seems pretty clear that the opinion of the Beis Yosef, at the very least, the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, they're the same person, is that you don't need to do a bedikah, even l'chatchila, in a vesa she'enu kavua. There are some achronim, though, who say you should, including the Bach, the Prisha, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. There's somewhat of a stira in the Prisha, it's not clear. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef, the Ramban, the Ravid, are all mekel. So halacha l'maisa, what's the halacha? So the Badei HaShulchan writes, Yesh lahachmir shelo b'shas adchak, since, after all, among the Gdolei Achronim there are machmirim, Rabbi Willig is mekel l'chatchila. And even though I think the minhag is to be mekel, machmir, I think most people are told that you should always do a bedikah l'chatchila even during a vesheinu kavua, Rabbi Willig is mekel l'chatchila. He says, look, it's Rov Rishonim and it's the Beis Yosef. I think this relates to Rabbi Willig's general position that we always try to minimize bedikos whenever possible, primarily because of his concern that it might lead to irritation. So I think I would say the minhag in the Velt is lahachmir, but Rabbi Willig is meiko. The Pischei Tshuva Chaf Aleph points out that a vesa she'eno kavua, that's a vesa haguf, you do need to do a bedika, because kevan shirgisha b'mikrim shebegufa yesh raya gedola. And the Taz in Kuf Pei Tes Lamed Ches says this as well. All that is for a vesa she'eno kavua. What about ona beinonis? So here, even Rabbi Willig, and this is based on the Rashba, and other Rishonim say that you need to do a bedika after the ona beinonis, or during the ona beinonis. And until you do a bedika, you are asura. So ona beinonis here is treated like a vesis kavua, and not as a vesa she'eno kavua with respect to bedikos. When we do some in Kuf Pei Tes, we will talk about exactly when and how long the ona beinonis lasts, and when during the ona beinonis you should do bedika. How many bedikos should a woman do during her vesas? So the Tosefta, Perek Tes Halacha Bei, says two bedikos, and it says ve'ein mechayven osa shetehe yada be'eneha kol hayom ela bodekas pa'amayim levesta. So you don't have to do a bedika the entire onus of SS, just two is enough. That's what the Tosefta says. The Chavos Das says a remarkable thing. He says that no, you actually need a moch during the entire onus of SS. Now, Chavos Das makes a lot of sense. After all, why? What's the idea of a vesas? This is a time that we expect you to see. So, why in the world would I assume? Let's say the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is you need to do one bedika during your vesas, right? Even l'chatchila, one bedika. If my vesas is the 28th day So why is it that I happened to do a bedika in the middle of the day? That's not proof that I didn't see the entire day, right? Why does it make sense that one bedika in the middle of the day should help me? So therefore, the Chavos Das says, no, it doesn't help you. In fact, you need to do a bedika the entire day. And therefore, you need a moch dachuk. I, the Tosefta. So you have to say that the Tosefta is talking about when it was a very short Veses. It's a 10-minute Veses, right? Like we saw in the olden days they used to have in the time of the Tosefta. The Shach says that Vestos were at pinpoint accuracy. So then, two bedikos is enough. But for us, that we have a Veses over the course of 12 hours, so then you need a moch the entire time. Most Achronim reject this Chavos Das. And then we have to ask the question, well, what about his compelling reason? Why is it that a bedika in the middle of the Veses shows me that she didn't see the entire time? So one answer the Chazon Ish suggests, which we mentioned earlier, is that if it's approximately the time she's going to start bleeding, a bedika might actually trigger the bleeding, and therefore one bedika would be enough. The Chazon Ish also writes that even though Tosefta says two, that's going according to the Mandamar Vestos de Oraisa, but Lididon, one would be enough, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch and all the Rishonim in the Beis Yosef, nobody mentions the Tosefta, which is very strange. Why don't they mention the Tosefta? The answer is because we Paskin Vestos are de Rabbanan. A little later on, he seems somewhat hesitant with that answer, and it sounds like maybe you'd require two, but it seems like, according to Chazon Ish, perhaps one would be enough. I assume how much your choshesh.
This is the question.
I guess. Should check the Chazon Ish for sure. Rav Moshe has a very interesting theory. Rav Moshe seems to accept the Chavos Das fundamentally, but he says that a woman's undergarment, tight-fitting underwear, are sufficient. Meaning, say, you don't actually need a moch, the entire onus of SS, if she's wearing underwear, so if there's any blood, we'll assume that the blood was caught by the underwear. And therefore, he writes, this is in Yerodei Chela Gimel Simen Mem Ches, this is where, as we mentioned, he says you should be machmir for the Oz HaRuah. He says, uvemeshech onas avesa shela tivdok atzma kama pe'amim ve'itzatova shetilvash beged lavan hasamuch behiduk yafe lagufa kol osa ona v'kodem ashena afilo imhu achar hayom tivdok b'chorim destakin. So you should do multiple bedikos as well as wear white underwear. That's the Eitz of Rav Moshe, which again, essentially is an accepting the Chavos Das, but saying you don't need a moch, underwear does the trick. The minhag, as far as I know, is not to follow Rav Moshe. I've never heard of anyone wearing white underwear during the Onas HaVeses. Chacham Avadian Taras Habayis, Per Gimel, Sif Beis, says you should do two bedikos, one at the beginning of the Ona, one at the end of the Ona. The Shevet HaLevi says you should do three bedikos, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one before Shkia. As we mentioned, the Chazon Ish seems like, in Sifkan Chav Beis, that even one is enough. And the Badi Yashulchan himself says you should do two bedikos, like the Tosefta, one at the beginning of the Vesos, one at the end of the Vesos. And Tov lahachmir pam achas besof haona shema rasa achar bedika shnia. In other words, since your second bedika might not be at the very end of the veses, there was some time afterwards, it's preferable to do a third bedika after the veses had certainly passed. Okay. I think many of the poskim around here, if it's a veses eino kavua, certainly say you could be lenient with one bedika, since after all, it's not even clear that you need any bedikos. And in terms of the onabenonis, so then maybe it makes sense to have two, but again, when we do kufpei tests, we'll mention Rabbi Willig's very interesting shita as to when you should do bedikos for the onabenonis. The next question that comes up on this sif is, what happens if you lose your bedika cloth? A woman does a bedika b'shas vesta, and then before she has a chance to examine it, she loses it, or she's going to ask a rabbi, and she loses it, or he loses it. What's the halacha? So the Chavos Das says, Sifkan Yud Aleph, Pischei Tshuva Yud Ches, says you have to be machmir. Why? Because what's the whole reason why we assume Vestos are lav de'oraisa? because the fact that she didn't have a hargasha shows me vestos or lav deoraisa. In other words, the vestos is a chazaka, but at the same time, she didn't have hargasha. That lack of hargasha indicates that she didn't see dam. So when you did the bedika, the Chavos Das holds, as you recall, that every bedika is a safek hargasha. Memela, she had a safek hargasha. You could no longer assume vestos or lav deoraisa because she had a safek hargasha. And therefore, she's a surah. And the fact that you do another bedika after the vestos is over doesn't help, because we could no longer assume vestos lav deoraisa because she had a safek hargasha. That's the opinion of the Chavos Das. The Pesachei Tshuva says that if you take this logic to its conclusion, then even if she goes to the bathroom, you can't no longer treat vestos as lav deoraisa, because every hatalas meraglayim is a safek hargasha. The Avnei Nezer vehemently rejects this in Siman Reish Lamed, and the poskim generally reject the Chavos Das. As we mentioned before, even if you accepted the Chavos Das, there's reason to distinguish between meraglayim and safek hargasha of an eid bedika. And therefore, we paskin that if you lose it, then after the vesses, when you discover that you lost your bedika of the vesses, you just do another bedika, and if that's good, then you're presumed mutaris. Okay. Sif Yud. Sif Yud is based off of the Gemara in Yevamo Samach Beis Amud Beis that says, Chai Vadim Lifkod Es Ishto B'Shah Shiyotze L'Derech Shenemar Ufakadeta Navecha V'Lo Secheta. And there are 3/4 interpretations of this Gemara. Interpretation number one is Rashi. Simple reading of the Gemara, Rov Rishonim, that means you should even have Tashmish. So if a husband is going away for a trip, and the night before he leaves is his wife's Veses, they could have Tashmish Amita even though it's the Veses. Why? Says the Ravid, it's because Vestos are Dirabanan, and B'makom Mitzvah Lo Gazru. If so, then you'd expect, let's say, the Ritva, who holds Vestos Deraisa, to reject this. However, the Ritva accepts it. The Ritva thinks that you could actually have Tashmish. I, Vestos, or Deraisa. He says that there's in Yud Ches Amud Beis, in Shavuos, there's a Havtacha, Sha'akosav Mavticho Shelo Yavo Bekachli Dechet Shetir B'Shas Tashmish. He takes the Pasuk very, very seriously. There's a Havtacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that since this is L'Dvar Mitzvah, you'll be saved. However, the Chassam Sofer says, no, if you hold Prisha B'Shas Vestas Deraisa, as I myself hold, so then you absolutely cannot accept Rashi, and even though the Shulchan Aruch and the Mechaber, the Rama, Me'ikar Adin, Paskin, like Rashi, that Tashmish is Mutter, the Chazam Sofer says, we Paskin, it's Aser to have Tashmish, because we hold Prisha's Deraisa. There's a fascinating Netziv, I'll just mention it in terms of its Lamdas, it's very interesting. The Netziv says, maybe even if it's deraisa, this is in his commentary in the Shiltos, you could be makel. Why? Because we say ase docha lo sase. What's the ase? Ona. What's the lo sase? Vihizartem. But then he says, 1 second, ona is a lo sase, right? Sheirak susahna sa lo yigra. And vihizartem is an ase. And we never say lo sase is docha ase. So he says, no, because we know it's not the pshat. Ase docha lo sase isn't ase docha lo sase. It's kum vase is docha Shevaltasa. And therefore, in this case, you ironically have a instance of lo sase being docha and ase. It's an interesting theory. Okay, so that's pshat one. Pshat one, again, was Rashi, that it means literally you should have tashmish amita. Pshat number two is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you can't have tashmish b'shas vesta, means divrei ritzoi. Now, if you look at the Rama, the Shach, they all assume that it's clear that that Rabbeinu Tam meant chibuk v'nishuk, meaning to say, even if you're generally speaking machmir not have chibuk v'nishuk b'shas vesta, yotzei l'derech, one could be lenient. It seems like the Taz understood that Rabbeinu Tam was not even permitting chibuk v'nishuk. The Lashon Rabbeinu Tam is v'yidaber el liba, in other words, speaking divrei ritzoi, but not actually having chibuk v'nishuk. The Ritva, though, asks on Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, he says there's two reasons why Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Number one is the Lashon, Delishna, Delifkod, Es Ishto, Lo Mashmachi. Lifkod sounds like Tashmish, doesn't sound like Devei Ritzoi. Ve'od, Kevin Shetashmish Aser, Lama, La'al B'Shay Yetzara. Why aren't you going to say it's Tashmish is Aser? It's very strange to say you should have Devei Ritzoi and Chibuk and Minishuk. You're just asking for trouble. The third interpretation is the Ramah, which is quoted in the Ritva and Shavuos Yud Ches Amud Beis, as well as the Nemuke Yosef, quoted in Darkei Moshe, that Ona Samach Levesna means like this. If I'm planning to leave for my trip, I should delay my trip in order to have Tashmish with my wife. In other words, it's not permitting Tashmish Amita during a time that's generally usher, rather it's being mechayev the husband to delay his trip. And if so, we understand why this only applies for a discretionary trip and not for a dvar mitzvah. The Taurus HaShlamim notes, this is what I said maybe the fourth opinion, that the Rambam does not quote this halacha at all. Why not? So the Taurus HaShlamim has a theory. This is based on Rambam Hilchos Deos Perk Dalet Halacha Yates, that a person should not be Baal Ishto B'yom Yitziyah L'Darech. Now it's a little difficult to say that because then it turns out that the Rambam's theory about health is being docha meforish gemara that says otherwise. So the Taz actually asks this tira. The Taz says that if you look in Or HaChaim Siman Reish Mem, it says, quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, that you shouldn't have bia before you go on a trip. And here it says, chayav adam lifko des ishto. So the Taz says you should be ma'ayin and chuvas ramah siman kuf lamed beis. If you look there, the Ramah says that it means only biyom shiyotzei laderech. You shouldn't, assuming a person leaves for a trip during the day, you shouldn't have tashmish during the day. But it doesn't mean the night preceding it. And the Taz in Or HaChaim gives a different answer. He says that this halacha, the Rambam, only applies when you're walking. But if you're holich pakaron, or you're driving, or you're flying, it doesn't apply. It's only dangerous to have tashmish so close to leaving on a trip when it's going to be a very strenuous, taxing, physical trip because you're walking by foot. How do we paskin? So the Mechaber paskins like Rashi, it means Tashmish Amita. The Rama also paskins Mikra Adin, you're allowed to have Tashmish to accept. He says, Hamachmir Tavala Lav Bracha. L'chora, there's more of a tzad l'hakel to have Tashmish Amita if it's a Vesesh Eno Kavua, and certainly if it's the Vesesh of the Or Zerua. The Rama also mentions as a Yesh Omrim opinion number three that you should delay your trip. And the Shach says that even if it's a Dvar Rishus, Im Horlech Letzarech Gadol, you don't have to be Mamtin. We should also note that even though it says Dvar Mitzvah versus Dvar Rishus, a business trip has the halacha, presumably, of this status as a Dvar Mitzvah. And we paskin, even if it's Laharvacha, it's not just a business trip to have what to eat, but even if it's Laharvacha, it's Mutter. We find this halacha that a business trip has the status of a Dvar Mitzvah in a number of places in Shas. The Ravid paskins that way, Lagabe the Isser Yitzhiel Chutz Laaretz. We paskin that way, Lagabe the Isser Aflaga Besvina Shloshi Yamim Lifnei Shabbos. It comes up that you're allowed to make an Erf Tchumen to go on a business trip, Laharvacha, even though we only do a business trip, Lidvar Mitzvah. And presumably here as well. The next question is, what's the Shear? How long do you have to be going away to make there be a chi of Tashmish and even B'Shas Vesta? So if you look at the Tshuva Me'ava, which is quoted in the Pesach Tshuva Yud Beis, he says Yud Beis Mil. What that means, probably it's not Yud Beis Mil, you know, but he really means the Mahalich Yom Echad, I guess. 40 mil, I guess. So, in other words, if it's a day's trip, that's when it applies. Now you could ask, that's a little strange, because l'chora, what's the basis of the halacha? Ona. So I would have expected that the shear is bitul ona. Let's say a person's ona is pamachas b'shavua, he's a tamil chacham, l'il Shabbos, l'il Shabbos. So then if he's going away for a week, he's going to be mevatel ona, so then there's a chiyav to be poked as ishto, kodim she'elech. But why should it be that if I'm only going away for 24 hours, right? So, okay, so I didn't have to have Tashmish with my wife anyway tonight. So, why am I chayev? So, you have to say that the Tshuva Me'ava holds, no. That Be'etzem, the idea of Onan, this is an idea that Rav Moshe states explicitly, though he doesn't paskin like this Tshuva Me'ava, but the Yesod, that the Chiyuv of Onan is not just a shir. Once a week, twice a week, every night, once every 6 months, what? And it's not just a shir. Part of it is that you're chayev to be with one's wife when she has a shtokikus, right? And that includes leil tevila, that includes yotzei laderech, and that includes a certain amount of times per week. So since when her husband's going out of town, she is mishtokekes labaila, that's mechayev midin ona sheyifko desishto. And even if you're not mevatel the ona in terms of a time period. So that's the opinion of the Tshuva Me'ava. The Hagos Yaivitz on Yivamos Samach Beis Amibay says, no, the shear is only when you won't be beveso kashir ona. So if you're shear ona, if you're tabu chacham, and it's once a week, so then if you're going away for once a week. Rav Moshe also paskins this way. The Shevet HaLevi also paskins this way. And the Shevet HaLevi even argues that the Tshuva Me'ava doesn't disagree. Everybody else misunderstood the Tshuva Me'ava. The Tshuva Me'ava is actually talking about the shear of the Rambam, that it's aser to have bia, how long of a trip. It means that. Okay. Another question we could ask is on the Ramah. The Ramah said, Hamachmir tavo alav bracha. So this is very strange. It should say maybe Hamachmir tavo aleha bracha. As the Tarsa Shlomim asks, here he is being machmir. He is a chayva gemura, a mitzvah deoraisa to have tashmish as his wife. And there's so you're being machmir like Rabbeinu Tam, but you're being mekel on an iser deraisa. How could you say a machmir tavalav bracha? So maybe if you hold like that Chassam Sofer, kuf mem test that we saw in the Pischei Tshuva, kuf peches beis, that we say, even from Ilei Chasidus, you're allowed to be mevatel ona, fine. But otherwise, it's very difficult to say that. I think it might be an appropriate time to quote the famous letter of the Stipler. It's quoted in Orchos Rabbeinu, page 29. Ha'ona hi mitzvah sasei de'oraisa kachilas matzah, va'mevatla bizman ibura huchote gamor. In other words, someone who says, I'm only going to have tashmish when she can become pregnant, that's an iser gamor. And ein misa v'yom ha'kippur in mechaprim, because it's bein adam l'chavero. He also writes that even though it says, Zman ona v'tam l'chacham is once a week, we don't have talmidei chachamim nowadays. Rav Moshe says a similar point. Oh. So what's the pshat? So the Torah Zaslamim is so bothered by this question, he says, even though this is not the simple reading of the Ramah, what the Ramah means is Hamachmir Tavalav Racha, Hamachmir to push off his trip, like the Yesh Omrim, then Tavalav Racha. Oh. Are there any other times that we're Mekel B'Shas Vesta? So there are some Achronim who say that a Kala B'Leil Chupasa, since that's also a mitzvah, right, we call that B'as Mitzvah, so then you could be Mekel. Let's say her chuppah falls out on her veses, she could still have tashmish, just like Yotzei Lederech. So the Noda Behuda rejects this, and he says it's not every bias mitzvah that's docha, the iser. And he notes that this is called bias mitzvah, but it's not a chova, whereas here it says in the Gemara, chayev adam lefkodes ishto. And I think the consensus is lahachmir. Likewise, there are those who are mekel. This is a more common question. The Knesset Yechezkel quote in Pischei Tshuva Chaf Beis says, if leil tvilasa falls out on her veses, you could be mekel, because for similar reason, it's a chiyuv to have tashmish, midin ona then. Like we said before, ona isn't just how many days a week, but ona means to have tashmish b'shashi mishtokekes labaila, and therefore you could be Mekel then as well. Rav Moshe says that fundamentally I would agree to the Knes Yechezkel that Ona is Mechayev that as well, but who's to say that you could extrapolate maybe one is more of a mitzvah than the other, and therefore, generally speaking, we are not Mekel on this. Perhaps Chibuk V'Nishuk, but not actually Tashmish. Rav Moshe is in Evan Ha'ezer, Chela Gimel, Simen Chafches, and that's a very important tshuva Rav Moshe, because like I said before, he explains the Gader of the Chiyav Ona. No, in other words, you might go ahead and be, I don't remember who, that you even if generally b'shas vesta, you're machmir for chibah v'nishuk, kein that maram that you like, maram milublin.
Right, but that might be...
In Achanami, you can't vada extrapolate, but I think I saw someone who made that sushdal. All right, I was hoping to finish today. We just have a couple more minutes to finish Kuf Pei Dalet, and then we'll hopefully do all of Kuf Pei Tes tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.